Hello and welcome to Enemy Within Radio Live on Spreaker.com. Tonight, to kick us off, we're joined by Ole Damegaard, author and researcher of Assassinations, False Flags and All Things Conspiracy. Ole also produces the site Light on Conspiracies. So welcome to the show, Ole.
Thank you so much. I was really getting into the headbanging there for a while.
If you could just kick off the show with your background and talk about some of the books that you've produced, the latest one, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion.
Yeah, for me it started, I'm like many truth seekers are waking up at the time, but for me it was in the early 80s when there was the first time I saw the so-called Zapruder film. There was a bystander who filmed the whole Kennedy assassination. And that was the first time I really discovered that the official story that we're being fed after many of these big assassinations were totally wrong, because the official story in the JFK case said that the assassin was sitting up in a building to the right and behind the Kennedy or the president when he fired the fatal headshot. Yeah. But what the film actually showed was that the final headshot came from a totally different direction, that it came from the front and to the right, meaning that the official story was so not true. And that started me on a long, long, long journey. I used to work as a journalist on a newspaper in Sweden, and I got very interested in finding out, almost obsessed about finding out what actually happened there, because the more I started reading about it, I think I've read like maybe 100, maybe 200 books, I don't know. I mean, I was really so deep into it for a while there. And but what I found out was that it was such a multi-layered conspiracy, you know, like an enigma inside a labyrinth, inside a treasure map that had been put in a treasure box and then thrown away the key and dropped on the bottom of the sea. And one of the things that really confused me on an early stage was that when I read different books about the people that were involved or claimed to be involved, some of the books said that, for instance, one person was he was a hitman for the Chicago mob. Then another book said that he was working for the CIA. And a third book said that he was funded by the FBI. And yet another one said he was working extra for the Secret Service. So it was very confusing there for a while, until I came to a point where I saw that all of these were actually saying the truth, that the same person was working for the CIA, in bed with a mob, being funded by FBI and so on. It was like such a mix and such a multi-faced monster type of thing. And from then on, the more I got interested in the JFK assassination, like I said, this was in the early 1980s, then I started looking into Robert Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, the assassination of him, and also the assassination of Martin Luther King. I also looked very deeply into the assassination of Abraham Lincoln 100 years earlier, and so on. And after a while, the more I looked into them and the more I got into the small, small but very important details, I started seeing that there was a very clear pattern on how they were carried out. It was almost like they had like a template on how to get away with a political assassination on a very high level, how to kill a person on that level and get away with it, how to dupe the public people into believing that it was a work of a lone crazy guy and not seeing what the real agenda was, which is a totally, totally different story than what we're normally being fed. And at that time, some years later in 1986, the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was gunned down in the street of Stockholm, which was an absolute shock for Sweden. I mean, Sweden used to be such a peaceful country. There was no crimes, no corruption, the perfect white democracy helping the rest of the world. And suddenly we had this very brutal murder right in front of us, openly in the street of Stockholm. And it turned into a national trauma. But what happened then was that there was a lot of confusion in the beginning, but I grew up in Sweden. I was born in Denmark, but grew up in Sweden. And I thought that the police are the good guys and the crooks are the bad guys. And so there would be no problem. The police would find the killer and the crime will be solved. But then when time went on and on, I started seeing that the exact same thing was happening in Sweden as had happened in the Kennedy assassination, as had happened in the Martin Luther King assassination and so on, how the investigation was working a lot more, trying to cover the whole thing up and not listening to what the witnesses said and even threatening them and just keep pointing at the patsy. So since I had this like a bullet point list from the other assassinations, I thought, but if what I suspect is true, then they will go to the next point on the list. I can't remember what it was. They will find some kind of evidence that will point once again to the patsy, but under these circumstances. And very true enough, within a few weeks, boom, that was exactly what happened in Sweden. So that freaked me out because I thought, my God, I'm living in a country that is totally different to what I grew up with, what I thought I grew up in. I also thought, if this is true, what happened in Sweden, if that's following the same template as in the States, as assassinations in South America and South Africa and so on, maybe they're somehow connected because they were following very, very similar tracks. So from that point on, I started seeing if I could find proof on a higher level to see the whole thing from a wider perspective. And this is what I've spent almost 30 years doing. And I've come to some very, very, very strong links that connects all of these, I would say more or less all of these big conspiracies. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories, I'm talking about conspiracy facts. These major conspiracies, I've been able to connect them with very strong evidence. And this is one of the things I'm now presenting in my book called Coup d'etat in slow motion.
Just for the listeners outside of Sweden, could you go more in depth about the assassination on the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme? Because a lot of people won't have either heard of that or done much research into it. What were the reasons behind that assassination, and who do you think carried that out?
What you're asking now are the two major questions in the whole thing, and the most difficult to answer when you go into a conspiracy. You can sometimes find out who committed the thing and how it was done and how they got away, how it was funded. But when you start looking into who was really ordering the assassination, this is where it gets tricky, because then you started to get higher and higher and higher up in the power pyramid, the on a global level. And when it came to Olof Palme, I can just say that the reason why I think these assassinations are extremely important to look into, it's not because somebody was killed in, like with JFK in 1963 in Dallas. I mean, had he only been a president that was shot by a lone crazy guy, okay, fine, I'm very sorry for his family and his sake, but he's buried, let's just forget it and move on. The same with the Swedish prime minister and so on, and all these other assassinations. But the whole point in this case is that the people who killed JFK, not physically, they were not the ones pulling the triggers, but the people ordering it, are the same people that are still in power to this day. I mean, they're great, they got white hair and they look very sophisticated on TV and so on, but it's the same power elite that has just been moving forward ever since that. And that's why my book is called Coup d'etat in slow motion. It was a coup d'etat, but it was in slow motion so that very few people have really noticed what happened. And coup d'etat in slow motion. Actually, I put that title for the Swedish assassination, but it goes on a global scale as well, how this power elite has taken over and is now running the show big time.
Yeah, all of this, in my opinion, a lot of it connects to the groups like the Bilderberg Group. These guys run the show, the shadow government. Basically, the heads of finance, the heads of royalty, all the power elite of the world, basically laying out a timeline of how things are going to happen and who's going to become leaders, who's going to be assassinated. Would you agree with me that maybe these decisions who to assassinate people that are made at the Bilderberg Group?
I would certainly totally agree with that. I mean, when I started out there, the Bilderberg Group was unheard of. Nobody had heard of them. I mean, they were super secretive. And it's only because of, I must say, people like myself and you and other, my brother and so on, who's been digging in for years and years and years trying to reveal what is going on and has tracked the Bilderberg Group and other of these big groups down, trying to reveal their agenda, how to reveal who was attending these meetings and so on. It's only thanks to them that this has come forward on a scale that it is today, where on the internet, if you write down Bilderberg Group, boom, you get like a million hits. Before, it was super, super difficult to find out. And Olof Palme was also a Bilderberger himself. He was also a member of the Committee of 300. So this guy was not a beginner, an innocent guy at all. He's been made out as an angel, just like JFK after his death. But before that, he was a multi-faced personality with a very nice appearance to the outer world, where he was helping Cuba and Palestine and Yasser Arafat and the Sandinist government and so on. But behind the scenes, he was working for this power elite. So he was almost like a Trojan horse that was sort of moved into the enemy camps and infiltrating it from the inside. So I would say Olof Palme was a very dangerous person, because very few people are aware of that he was like a double agent.
Yeah, I actually attended the last Bilderberg meeting, the protest around it, I should point out, in the UK. And for the first time, mainstream media actually fully reported on the Bilderberg meeting. Beforehand, mainstream media has actually said that it didn't exist. People were lunatics for saying that it did exist. But for the first time, there was a press office there. But the thing was, it was still reported in mainstream media that people were lunatics for going there. This was nothing. This was just a meeting of the heads of finance and parliament and royalty. Nothing to worry about. They're just having a discussion. But nothing discussed at Bilderberg you can actually find out about. You can't find out through freedom of information. So why the secrecy?
Exactly. And also, we're talking about politicians that have sworn their loyalty to their people in their country. What the hell are they doing on foreign soil, meeting foreign politicians and people in the military-industrial complex, judges, royalties, and in top secret environment? I mean, you would see that as total treason. Actually, when you go to at least Swedish law, they would be accused of treason if this was taken up in a court.
Yeah, and one of our prime ministers, Tony Blair, actually lied to Parliament, as a lot of people who have attended Bilderberg have done in their separate countries. They've actually lied to their governments that they attended Bilderberg. They always deny that they've been there, which should get them kicked out immediately, but it never does.
No, Tony Blair is one of the major players, or have been for many years. He and the Bush family, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Henry Kissinger, and many of these. But Tony Blair is a big-time player. But so are David Cameron. He's taking over now. Margaret Thatcher was a Bilderberger. John Major was a Bilderberger. Gordon Brown was a Bilderberger. I mean, they are in the same club. And this is, it's so important to see the connections, because we're talking about this shadow government, that they're connected behind the scenes. That is why, like, for instance, right after 9/11, I mean, the dust hadn't even settled from the towers going down before they started talking about, we have to start the war on terror. We have to start the war on terror, they said in the States. And right away, I mean, it was like within 20 minutes, Tony Blair was standing up saying, the war on terror, we have to support it. And then Mitterrand, François Mitterrand in France, we have to support. And then came the Swedish prime minister at that time, Carl Bildt, who is also a Bilderberger, and said, and Sweden is a neutral country, so come on. And he said, we have to support this. Where did that come from? Insider trading. We're talking insiders. And this is why we need to see these networks. Who are attending these meetings? What are their agenda? And in my the ebook version of Coup d'etat in slow motion that you can buy on the website, the last 200 pages, it's more than 1,000 pages long, this book. And the last 200 pages, I think, are memberships list of the Bilderberg Group since 1954 and onwards. What the agenda was, as far as I've been able to find out, and who was attending the meetings, who were in the steering committees and so on. There's also a membership list of the Committee of 300, which is another group in of the same people. They're like some major groups. You got the Trilateral Commission, you got the Council on Foreign Relations, you got the Bilderberg and the Committee of 300. These are some of the major players way up in the pyramid of power. There are people above that. But I've never gone into that. I mean, there are more people with a lot more knowledge than me who are focusing on that. So I leave it to them. I'm more like on a street level, finding out how and who committed these assassinations. How were they carried out? What techniques did they use and so on? And where did the orders come from? So
yeah,
just
as you've mentioned, there is a, from your research, you've found there is a blueprint for assassinations. And there's also a blueprint for how governments work. As we saw with the Thatcher and Reagan period, basically the same things were happening both sides of the pond. They were carrying out exactly the same agenda. And that's got to point to the Bilderberg Group.
But this is, it's just like you say, they're hand in hand. They're in bed with each other. And that's why it's so important to see that, just because somebody in the States says something, or something, somebody in Israel says somebody something, and somebody in France says something, does not mean that they're separated. We think that because he's from a different country, that means that they're not connected, but they are. They are. And this is the whole thing with a group like the Bilderberg, that what they've done over many, many years since it was created in 1954 in Holland, in Oosterbeek, at the Hotel Bilderberg. That's why they took this name. They might as well have been calling themselves the Oompa Loompas or something like that, but they chose the name Bilderberg from that hotel. But what they have done is, over the years, they have focused on inviting handpicked people in more or less all Western countries, where the thing is, if you take a country like Sweden, for instance, you've got a population of 9 million. You only need to control a handful of people, like 10, 15, but in the key positions, we're talking royal family, prime ministers, the education, people involved high up in education, in the jurisdiction, what do you call it, the crime system, like judges and police chiefs, in the military, and so on. You only need a handful of people, but in the right position, to be able to push that country in a direction that it is according to their agenda, without people understanding what's going on. They can just see, oh, it's so strange. It doesn't matter who we elect. We're still going in the same direction. This is the reason why. They are the ones pushing forward these candidates in these so-called elections. The game is so rigged that you can choose between three, four people or whatever it is, but it's three, four fingers on the same hand. It's up to you to choose which finger. It's still the same machine behind the whole thing, just pushing forward. So that's why I think it's super crucial to expose these people, to expose their agenda, to expose how they're connected, to expose what is going on, and to expose the methods that they're using. And at this time, one of the things that they really thrive with are the false flag operations that they carry out on such a regular basis, especially in the States at the moment. So it's almost ridiculous.
Just getting back to the JFK assassination, there was two conspiracies within the JFK assassination, as there was with all the other assassinations. There's actually the conspiracy to carry out the act, and then the conspiracy after to cover it over. Now, a lot of people are confused. Like you said earlier, some people say it was this person who assassinated them for this reason. Others say it different. Because Kennedy had a lot of mob connections, the mob got him into power, rigged the election in the pre-elections in Chicago. He was pulling troops out of Vietnam. He was creating the greenback currency again. So there's multiple reasons for his assassination, and multiple people who could have carried it out. So what is your belief? Who actually carried it out, or was it a combination of everybody?
It was a combination of everybody. It was just like Julius Caesar, you know, where he was stabbed by 12 people. And the reason he was stabbed by all of them was that everybody had to dip their hands in blood so that nobody could point out an accusing finger at anyone else without going down himself. And this is with the Kennedy assassination. The assassination itself was carried out when it comes to the mechanics, the actual shooters. There were people from the Chicago mob. There were people from the CIA. There were people from an operation that was called Operation 40, which is very crucial. If I can go into more details group later on. And also members of the Secret Service and the Dallas Police. And the whole thing was funded by money from the military industrial complex, but also people are trying to contact me. Sorry. But from not only the military industrial complex, but also mob money and money from all types of these big industrial complexes that he was against. Are you still there?
Yeah, a lot of people actually point to Bush Senior and the George Bush cartel, as a lot of people call it, because another thing that Kennedy was going to do was disband the CIA.
Yeah. But Bush is very, very crucial in this. The Bush family are, I cannot exaggerate how super criminal they are. I mean, when you look into this family and what they've been getting into over the last 50 years, it's mind-blowing. And Bush, for sure, was deeply involved in this. I would say that Kennedy was the last real elected president. All the president that has followed since then has belonged to the power elite that took him out. They are the power machine that killed him are still driving forward, and it's just that they're changing the front figure. And the front figures are people that have proved loyalty to their cause and got up in the ranks. And in this case, this is a very, very super criminal cause. So all the presidents, if you can track them down, Lyndon Johnson, who was the vice president at the time, he was deeply involved in the Kennedy assassination. He was just about to be put away for at least 8 murders, and there was a lot of illegal activities. And just the same day as Kennedy was assassinated, they would bring him forward proof that would have taken him out, put him to jail. Then also involved was Richard Nixon. He was deeply involved in this assassination. So then after the assassination itself, you had in the Warren Commission, the commission that was put there to find out, so-called, what has actually happened in the real life, what happened was that was the whole cover-up machine that was put in place with this Warren Commission. But one of the experts, so-called experts, there was Gerald Ford, who was later precedent. And then it has just gone on and on and on and on. So many of these so-called very nice presidents like Bill Clinton and so on, if you look, when you look back into his personal history, you will find out that they're super criminal. So is Hillary Clinton. Like Bill Clinton used to be the governor in Arkansas. And at that time, the Iran-Contra affair was going on big time, but super secretive. And what that was all about was that there were weapons stolen in the National Guard under the control of Colin Powell. The weapons were then smuggled out and transported in Army medevac, these medical airplanes, and flown down to countries like Nicaragua, where they were setting up a whole army called the Contras that was trying to overthrow the elected government, the Sandinist government. So they started this whole war down there and killing so many thousands of the local population there. But what happened was that the weapons were going down there. Then when they emptied all the weapons out of the planes, they filled them up with drugs. We're talking tons and tons and tons of drugs going into these medevac planes. And then they flew in at nighttime mostly and landed. One of the main strips they had was outside a little town called Mena in Arkansas. And the people that met up there and received the drugs personally was the governor by the name of Bill Clinton and his partner, Dan Lassiter. These two were some of the people who were receiving these drugs, and George Bush Sr. as well, George Herbert Walker Bush Sr. And from then on, the drugs were spread out in the States to the cribs in Los Angeles and so on to start the whole crack epidemic started there from this little airport, this little airstrip in Mena, Arkansas, under the surveillance of Bill Clinton. And so he was working his way up in this power elite by loyalty and with these drug deals. And then it was just that he looked very good in media and so on. So he was invited to a Bilderberg meeting, just like Tony Blair. And because of his nice personality and that it fitted into the elite's agenda, and also there was somebody that they could manipulate the way they wanted, they, within a year, both Bill Clinton and Tony Blair, it just took them a year more or less to come from absolute nowhere, and boom, they were prime minister or president. So it's very, very crucial to see who get invited to these Bilderberg meetings. And then if they're approved of, their career just skyrockets right up.
Yeah, the Mena, Arkansas was chosen as the drop site for the cocaine because of, like you said, Bill Clinton being a sleazy governor, actually allowing the drop. And what happened one night was one of the drops was actually witnessed by two kids who were on the railway tracks, near some railway tracks. And both of those kids were actually killed.
They were beaten up and put over the train tracks.
Yeah, they were put on the train tracks and yeah. They said that they'd fell asleep on the tracks and changed the story, suicide. And
yeah. No, it's not only these kids. There's a long row of so-called suicides around the Clinton couple there. So not nice people, I tell you. Oof.
They'd always put their own coroner in on the case. They always claimed suicide. There was one actual incident, possibly an assassination by Clinton, where the person was actually decapitated and the coroner said suicide.
I know. But this is standard procedure. They have coroners in their pocket, you know, and it's the same. You will see the same coroner pops up again and again and again. As soon as they have a problem, call this guy. He comes in, sorts it out. Suicide, 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 suicide. In Sweden, we have a coroner like that. And he wrote off a case where there was this police officer who was trying to reveal the right-wing activities that was going on among the police before Olof Palme was being assassinated. And he was found stabbed 15 times and then hit in the face with something hard. And it was ruled out as a suicide. I mean, can you imagine it? Just imagine you having a knife and you're trying like one, two, three. I'm just trying to commit suicide now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, need a rest. 10, 11, 12, what shall we do? 13, 14, 15, and then I hit myself in the face with a bat. I mean, come on. But this is to this very day, it's still ruled out as a suicide.
Yeah, it was the same thing in Oklahoma City. The first cop at the scene, he was basically dragged through fields. He had multiple lacerations, totally
Yeah.
beaten, and they said suicide.
Can I tell you, there's one thing now when we talk about Clinton and Oklahoma City that could, I don't think many people know. The whole building was blown up. They say from this truck outside, first it was a van, then it was a truck, then it was a bus, then it became bigger and bigger and bigger because the explosives that they said was put in this van was not enough to blow this whole building up the way it was blown up, since it was being blown up from the inside out. The whole thing was adapted with explosive beforehand. But anyway, what happened was that while people were running there trying to save children and women in all the rubble and so on, there was a warning sent out saying there's a secondary explosive, there's a secondary, everybody needs to clear the area. So while people were lying dying in the ruins of this building, there were two, everybody was pulled back, and there were two vans coming in with people in blue overalls. And what they did was they went straight into the building and they pulled out these file cabinets with papers from one of the offices. Out with all the these file cabinets, loaded them. When they checked everything was there, they took off, and then normal people was and the normal police were let back into the site to see if they could rescue some of the more people. But these papers, when you track them down, there was a scandal at the time just before Oklahoma City called the White River scandal, if I can't, I think that White Water or White River scandal, where Bill and Hillary Clinton was deeply involved in illegal real estate affairs and so on. And the evidence had just been brought from Mena, Arkansas, to the Alfred Murray Building in Oklahoma City, which was exactly where the bomb blew up. And so what they were there, they were clearing out the evidence from the case against Bill and Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying that was why they blew this building up. I'm saying that is one of the reasons they picked that exact building.
Interesting. That's a new one to me, actually. All there. But as you mentioned, we saw the same blueprint in this operation as well. The lone wolf Patsy, Tim McVeigh. Even though all of the witnesses, almost all the witnesses, pointed to a second man in the vehicle with Tim McVeigh. They actually put out a photo fit of this John Doe number two, and then it quickly disappeared. The only news agency which was reporting the truth was the local news agency, which was quickly quelled afterwards.
But the thing is, it's very important, again, I would say, to see why are these things committed and by whom. Because once you see how they do it, it will open up your eyes to see it in a totally different light. So if it's okay with you, I can just pull up the major outlines of how to do it, how they do it. They work from an old pattern that was created by the old Romans. It's called problem, reaction, solution. Problem, reaction, solution. It's a three-step rocket. Like, for instance, if I'm here in Spain and I want the police to, or let's say England, I want the police to be able to drive tanks in the streets, have bazookas, kick in doors, do whatever they want, jail people without them having the right to have a lawyer or anything like that, or kill people with drones or whatever. You make up whatever you want, but something really extreme. If I'm the guy in power, let's say I'm the one who's been elected in power in, we say, England, if I just do that, I would have a lot of problems because there would be demonstrations, maybe riots, there may be guerrilla movements. I would have to mass arrest people. I would have to fill the jails. It would be a lot of problems. Also, maybe other countries would boycott me with financial threats and stuff like that. So That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to get the population to invite my engender. Invite my engender. So how do I do that? I do it. Nowadays, it's mostly mass shootings or explosives. These are the things that are in the trend at the moment. What I do is I secretly place a bomb, and it needs to be placed in a, it's very, the where I place the bomb is crucial. It needs to be in a public place, and I need to have lots of children and women. These are the key factors, because what I'm trying to create is the emotional effect from the population, not the logic, intelligent way of thinking. It has to come from emotions. So I place this bomb in a central place near a daycare center or something like that, or a kids hospital or something. It needs to work well in media so that people will start crying and, oh, it's so emotional. That is the one. So I secretly place this one, the bomb there. At the same time, I prepare a patsy. And this patsy can be, it's almost, if it's a one person, it's almost always a lone crazy guy, a mentally retarded, somebody easily manipulated, somebody who looks good in media. He can look strange, or he says strange things, or also nowadays, it used to be Russians and East Germans during the Cold War, but then the trend went into Muslims, which was great for them, because Muslims, they look scary for most European people, because they've got black eyebrows and a big mustache and a very strange name sometimes, and they come from a country that many people haven't even heard of. So that works great in media when you're starting to, well, I'm talking about creating a boogeyman. The reason why they want him to be alone and crazy is because if he's alone, then there's no plan behind the crime. There's no conspiracy. There's no thing, no reason to dig into why this thing happened. He was just crazy. That's why he did it. He was crazy. Case closed. And then if you manage to get this guy killed afterwards or lock him away as soon as possible, then case closed and nobody has to even look into it anymore. So I prepare this patsy, and sometimes I leak out in media the weeks coming up to this event. I leak out about this. If we say it's a group, let's say it's the what should we say, the exotic bird lovers or something. You make it up. I mean, it's getting to a crazy point at the moment. They just make up whatever. We say it's the militant crazy, the militant exotic bird lovers or something like that, and then you leak out in media that this bird lovers group, they have meetings in a room every Tuesday, and only real members are allowed in. And it might be that they're planning something, and some of them have a violent history. Maybe they're even hiding guns underneath the meeting room or something. So you leak it out, preparing the subconscious of normal people to say that this is a weird group, you know, I wonder what they're up to. So you leak that. At the same time, also you prepare evidence so that once the bomb goes off, boom, the evidence will point right at this group. Okay, so we got the bomb in place, we got the patsy prepared, we got the evidence prepared. Also, at that point, I prepare my own investigation. This is people that I control, that I can totally manipulate, and their only task is to move forward. As soon as the bomb explodes, boom, my investigation moves forward and kicks out all normal, honest detectives and policemen and so on, so that they have no insight in what's going on. And this investigation, the only task they have is to point that away, away from the truth and in the direction of the patsy. They also have a task, and that is when truth seekers like myself are too persistent and just will not give up, they will deal with us. We will get a visit at nighttime. Some people would end up in a, you know, fully dressed in a bathtub, drowned, or car accidents, heart failure, cancer that just comes within a week, or these type of suicides and so on. Anyway, so also what I do is I prepare a drill at the same time. And this drill, the agenda is exactly the same as the live event to come. So that the drill halfway through suddenly goes live, and many of the people involved have no idea that it's actually really happening. They still think that this is just a drill, and this is one of the ways that they manipulate the Patsy into position so that he will be at the site when it goes off. Or like with the London bombings, these three people were suddenly they discovered, oh my God, we're actually the ones gonna be made into the Patsies, and they try to get away, and then they're shot or blown up or whatever. So anyway, so the drill is there, the evidence is there, the Patsy is prepared, my own investigation is on standby, and now is the time for the bomb to go off. So I wait and wait and wait, because it's very important at what time of day I make it explode. This is to get the most emotional impact possible. So I wait in the early morning. You know, it's not good in the middle of the night when people are sleeping, or in the evening. No, it doesn't work. It needs to go emotional. So in the morning, when people have just woken up and they're still at the... they've just had breakfast, but they're on their way to work, meaning that they are in a public place, meaning that they will feel scared for their own sake as well. So I wait maybe till 10 to 9 or 9:15 or something in the morning, and here we go, and boom, there it goes. Off goes the bomb. The media is on standby, which I control to a big extent, and I just pump out these horrific images of blown up children and women and all of this, creating the problem. This is the problem, to get the reaction from the population. And the reaction will be, oh my God, something needs to be done. We need to stop this terror. This is awful, awful. And then they turn towards me, and then I will come with a solution. It was problem reaction, and here comes the solution. And then I will say, well, I can solve this. But, you know, these exotic bird lovers, they're really, really dangerous. You know, they might have chemical weapons and whatever. So the only way I can take these guys are with tanks in the street, police with bazookas, with total free to kick in, to do whatever. Look, many more surveillance cameras, all of these things. And the population will just say, yes, please do it, do it. I will suddenly become a hero, because I will knock out this group that I have problems with anyway. They normally pick a group that they're pissed off with anyway. So I move in, boom, I knock them out, I solve the problem, I'm a hero. And then what I do is I withdraw my troops after like a week or 10 days or something like that, long enough so that the population would get used to the police having bulletproof vests that they...
lost him.
Tommy? He's gone.
Yeah, carry on with what you were talking about, the blueprint.
No, so this is how they do it. And this is also why it's so important to see that after these atrocities that happen, what is the reaction? What is the solution that has been presented to us? Like with 9/11, like I say, the dust hadn't even settled before. Suddenly, the war on terror. Where did that come from? And who are they fighting? You know, the war of terror is the perfect boogeyman, because it's pointing everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah, throughout history, we've had the boogeyman. We've had the war on communism, the war on drugs, now the war on terrorism. What's your thoughts on the death of Bin Laden? Do you believe that he died years ago?
God, yeah, he died 2001. He was out of the picture right away.
Yeah, definitely. That's my thoughts exactly. The thing with the death was nobody saw the actual burial at sea. And
no, but this whole thing is just one major crap story. Do you know, another method that they use is distraction. You know, the thing is to blow something up to the left when you're doing something to the right. It's like looking at a magician. You think he's doing it with the left hand, but he's actually doing the trick with his behind his back with the right. And so when violent things or big things in media happens, it's important to be aware of what's going on in the horizon. Do you know, like, for instance, with the Bilderberg meeting we were talking about before in Watford, what happened when the media was starting to focus on this Bilderberg meeting? What happened? boom, there came the beheading, the so-called beheading in Woolwich, which was a sloppy false flag operation. Really low budget, awfully executed, really badly done. With stage, it was a total stage event with the actors and this whole thing. When you look into it, there's nothing real about it at all, but a major distraction away from the Bilderberg meeting. So with the Bin Laden, now when they were getting into heavy fire on other courses, then they pulled up this card from the back pocket, trying to trick us into believing that he was actually killed now when he was dead, like, 10 years ago, more than that.
Tommy, have we got you now?
Yes, can you hear me all up?
Yeah, I can.
Houston, yep. Can hear you.
Houston can hear you. Cape Canaveral.
Okay, well done. We've just landed on planet Earth. Ola, you are absolutely correct in the analysis that you just made about how the assassinations work in order to create a problem. And then what you get, of course, as you said, you get the solution is always going to be more and more limited freedom for people. And that's what they're doing. I've written a report about this where I describe in detail how the United States of America, for example, has become one of the most paranoid countries in the world.
Well, nice with,
pardon?
Nice with a cigarette.
Oh, no, it's a pipe.
Okay.
I do that all the time. Yeah. Tom knows about that. I'm a pipe smoker, so I smoke the pipe all the time. But what you are saying is so simple, if only people could understand how simple it is. But because it's so simple, we have another problem. They don't understand it.
But I think it's coming to a point where there's not really any excuses anymore. You know, it's like take for instance the Kennedy assassination. It's 50 years of absolute bullshit we're being fed.
Yep.
And when you look at the case, I mean, if you look at a case like Robert Kennedy, for instance, like that, where you got the guy who's accused for the murder, he's standing in front of him. He doesn't get any closer than 1.5 meter. He has a revolver with 8 shots, and there's 13 shots, 12 or 13 shots fired, and Kennedy is hit from the back, point blank, to the head, and from someone behind his right shoulder. So if I tell my 8-year-old daughter, she'll just say, well, the guy in front of him couldn't have done it. But we are, this was 1968, and we're still discussing it. I mean, come on, how thick can we get? It's like unbelievable. And I would say many of these cases are no-brainers. It's very obvious that it's a conspiracy. The thing is to be able to figure it out, what actually happened instead of what we're being fed, because you can, like I said, very early often see that this is baloney.
Do you know what is the most important thing, I think, here, Ola? And Tom, you can come in if you think I'm going off on a rant, because I also rant. One of the things that we have as a problem as a population is that the horrific program of these particular, what would you call them, maniacs, if you like, is that your mind will refuse to believe that it's true, because you're going to say, no, they wouldn't do that to us. Oh, yeah, they will. Yep. Not only will they kill. I mean, when you were talking about the Robert Kennedy assassination, which was terrifying in the most extreme way, well, you've got to remember that he was talking with Martin Luther King as becoming the vice president of his Democratic Party. And, of course, they had to blow them both away. And it's, you know what is so strange for people to understand is that these people actually murder and kill children. Tom and I will be talking about this, I hope, in the next broadcast. And that is how there is confessions now from people who have actually taken babies and strangled them to death while they're alive. So don't tell me that they can't do other things. They can do a lot of things.
I think if I can just jump in, I think that most of the problem is the mainstream media pushing out the false story so much, and it's repeated so many times that even people that can see it straight off, it's a clear conspiracy. This is a joke, like you said, a little child could see it. Because the false story is repeated so many times, people start to doubt themselves. Maybe I'm wrong.
But this is Adolf Hitler used that. He said the bigger the lie, the easier it is to make people believe in it.
It wasn't Hitler. It was Goebbels.
Goebbels was the... whoever said it came from the same office say.
It was Goebbels who actually said... tell them bigger and bigger lies and they will never believe anything anymore. They will go nuts. And that's exactly what happened. You know, when you hear the horrible things that people say about Germans, you know, it's not true. The German people are one of the most educated, they were the most cultured center of European development, and then they got pushed all these lies all the time, and then they ended up thinking that they were bad, and they weren't bad. There's nothing wrong with Beethoven. Are you nuts?
No, but this is, I think it's very important to study history, to not repeat it, because what we're looking at now is actually like the Fourth Reich. It's the same mentality behind what was pushing forward. It's actually the same families also that pushed forward Hitler, that is pushing forward Obama and this whole thing at the moment, the whole global elite thing. It's the same agenda. And so it's a crucial time to wake up and see what's going on, because if we don't, we are not in a nice place very shortly.
Ola, you said a little bit earlier how naive Sweden was, yeah? Naive you were. And then you forgot that it was the whole of the point of the, you know Uppsala? Uppsala.
Yeah, what about Uppsala?
Uppsala is where, what's his name, that Swedish prime minister, what was his name, Hjalmar Branting, I think his name was.
Yeah.
That's where they created the first ever eugenicist center for how to exterminate people. That was done in Sweden, and in Sweden, everybody was walking around going, Hjalmar Branting. Go and check him out on the internet, and you will find that this guy was one of the first eugenicists, and he was the guy behind the beginning of the Social Democratic Party of Sweden.
I tell you, I have a strong feeling that Sweden is being used as a test run.
Exactly.
For many different agendas. At the moment, they're trying out a cashless society in Sweden.
Yep.
They're just withdrawing all the cash from the banks, from normal people, so that they are forced in, without understanding that they're forced, they're pushed into this digital currency, which is very scary, I would say, once you look into it. It's very convenient. Until the day that there are no cash money around, because then if somebody, the guy who's in charge of the computer, decides that you are out, that's it for you. That is it.
Absolutely.
So it's It's a very scary society if we let go of the cash money, I think. But this is what is being tested now in Sweden, because Sweden is such a lame people. I must say that they're very afraid of conflicts, and they're very into gadgets, and they think that they're really super cool, instead of
Lovely
understanding what
pissheads.
is being tested on them. And the reason they do it in Sweden is because if a Swede gets really upset, he will put a sticker on the back of his car or something like that. That there will be no nothing in more than that. There's no violent or angry revolts in Sweden. It's like maybe a sticker, maybe a sign saying "I am angry." That's about it. So they can really try it out and see how it works.
Yep, I agree with you totally, because when I was living there, it was so scary that nobody would react to reality. I've never told this story on air before, but I was going into Slussen. You know Slussen?
Yeah.
No, yes, Slussen, I think it is, yeah. You know the no, well, it's near Gamla
Yeah.
Stan. You can see the train coming. There's a girl on the platform with her legs dangling in front of where the train is coming, and there is 100 people, and not one of them moved, not one. I had to run down to pull her back. She was obviously on drugs, yeah? And I had to run down. I had to push all these people away. And I got her onto the bench, and she was sitting there shaking. Nobody was going to react. It's like I couldn't believe it. I go, wow, that doesn't really happen, but it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, oh, by the way, Ola, I also wanted to point out about the Palmer assassination. A very important point in this is that Palmer had suddenly come out in support of LaRouche's SDI program. This is crucial. If you want to understand why he was killed, it was partly because of this SDI movement thing.
Okay.
And what Palmer was doing, he was just moving slowly to understanding and supporting LaRouche and Reagan. Now, of course, you're right. The Reagan administration was one of the, well, what could we say? It was the beginning of royalty in Washington, yes? That was the first time they started doing all this red carpet stuff and becoming gods. But if you look at the LaRouche Reagan SDI program, you suddenly saw something that was really good. And then, of course, bang, next day he was dead.
And it was the same reason for the attempted assassination of the German leader.
That's exactly true. Yes, it is.
Well, all the we're
I'm
just.
just throwing out some ideas here, But the other thing that I think is really important, and that is this, that we have to understand, and it's very difficult for the human mind to get behind the idea that there are people who will take little babies and rip their necks off and throw them in the rubbish bin. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we're just coming to the end of the section with all it, so we're going to wrap it up with you. If you could just give out your website details again and any contact details, please, all in.
It's www.lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com, and my book is called Coup d'etat in Slow Motion. And I just want to say that I for one am not one that believes in revenge or hate or violence in any way. On the contrary, I just want this madness to stop, because it really is mad what is going on. And I just want to say also that I'm really looking for someone who can help make a top quality documentary that will show all the connections between these big conspiracies over the years that we didn't get into so much, but I found very, very strong links between all of them. And also, I must say, I've spent 30 years. If somebody would like to support me or sponsor me, I'm most, most grateful because it's a long and lonely road to walk, and it's been a poor road as well. So if anyone, it's extremely appreciated. There's a sponsor button on my website as well.
Hey, Tom,
Yeah.
we get Ola back on again next week so I can do some more ranting, yeah?
That would be lovely.
Yeah, and then he can talk, and then we'll give out his number again and again and again until people start to help him. I'll tell you what, Ola, if I had a credit card, I'd send you some money.
Thank you so much.
No, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
Well, I thank you both. We're going to have a song break, and then I'm going to call you back, Tommy, and we're going to get into the news and some of the stuff we've been talking about with Ola. So,
Okay,
thank you very
brilliant.
much, guys.
Ola,
Thank you so much.
Ola, yeah,
Yeah.
have a great next interview. Don't work yourself to death, otherwise, not good.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Okay, great.
Okay, take care,
Lovely
guys.
talking to you again.
Bye bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Great American, rap, rest in peace, young S. Born live on the set. Born live on the set. Yeah.
First off, say peace to Pine Ridge. Shame at all the damage that the white man wine did. Ghost dance, fell in tears, 5 million beers a year, and all that other crime did. More pieces to the teachers of blind kids, to red bells and small cells, keeping their mind big. Say everything's hostile, suicide bombers and prosperity gospels, emaciated models with cocaine and blood pouring out their nostrils. They got to, just to stay awake on the catwalk of life where everybody watch you. Straight hair, high heels, and a handbag. Crucifixes, racism, and a land grab. Katrina, FEMA, trailers, human body sandbags. A peace sign and a pants sag. A money toss calls a nine-stripper mad dash. A friend request following a hashtag. Now everybody wanted like the last laugh. A Michael Jackson jacket or a death mask. Purple Jordans or the mixed girl in your math class. Stable is when the bath had Baghdad. But corporate jets really had to have that gas band. War and they hope they all fall from the rat attack. Cause that's just more dinosaur for the Cadillac. Live on the other side, what you see? A bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need. But I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Born live on the other side, what you hear? A bunch of nonsense all in my ear. Rich man, poor man, we all gotta pay. This freedom ain't free, especially around my way. At the state of heart of man, then turn around and treat Ghana like a garbage can. America's a big motherfucking garbage man. If you ain't know, you part and parcel of the problem. You say no, you ain't, and I say yes, you is. Soon as you find out what planned obsolescence is, you say no, they didn't, and I say yes, they did. The definition of unnecessary nears. Manifested, say that we should protest just to get arrested. That goes against all my hustling ethics. A bunch of jail niggas say it's highly ineffective. Depart from Martin, connect on Malcolm X tip. Insert Baldwin, it's similar to separate. To me, the truth is more fulfilling than a method of finding really fast internet to have some sex with. It's all one song short of a set list. Couple croissants shy of a continental breakfast. Of blowing out your birthday candles just to make a death wish. So absurd, words a cheap bone necklace. At the Lakota Sioux Casino, a whole culture boiled down to giving you Pacino. I go as left as a heart in the chest, cause the horn of Africa is now starving to death. Live on the other side, what you see? A bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need, but I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Born live on the other side, what you hear? A bunch of nonsense all in my ear. Rich man, poor man, we all gotta pay. This freedom ain't free, especially around my way. And all white Los Angeles, the dream of Mr. Chandler. Hope and pray they take Columbus Day up off the calendar. South Central, an example of God's gift. So shout to all the mothers raising babies in Spa 6. The projects of Oakland City, Detroit ghost towns. Monopolies on poverty where D-Boy Coke bound. It's parts of Manila like the video for Thriller. But the U.S. Embassy is reminiscent of a villa. If poverty is chocolate and privilege vanilla, then what's the flavor of the Sunday preacher's pedophilia? Cash rules everything around these niggas. There's classrooms everywhere around me with her.
hither you can be Mr. Burns and Mr. Smithers, the tyrant or the slave, but nowhere in the middle of the extremes of America's dream. Freud, fight Neo, Freddy Cougar, referee, man. Live on the other side, what you see, a bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need, but I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Live on the other side, what you hear, a bunch of nonsense all in my.